Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage podcast. Today's guest is Jean Hall, author and CEO of Starlight Magazine. Jean is a writing coach for teens and has spent most of her adult life doing fun things with children of every age. But she's always wanted to be a writer and felt called to do so. In 2016, her dream of writing stories for children was realized, and Jean signed her first book contract with Little Lamb Books. She was going to share her Bountiful Blessings, a series of four picture books about seasons, and her first book was called The Blessings of Fall, which was released in September of 2019. But then the publisher went out of business, and so did her dreams. Or did they? Through the cracks and broken pieces of her dreams, the Lord called her to write again. She writes now to shine the light of Christ by uplifting and encouraging others through poems, devotionals for adults and children, fiction and nonfiction picture books and board books, stories and poems for children's magazines, slice of life essays for anthologies like Chicken Soup for the Soul and Starlight Magazine, her newest God venture. In this episode, we talk about how you are the one in charge of your child's education. You get to pick and choose those connections, and don't just ignore them. Also, how they believe Starlight feeds curiosity, sparks interest, instills truth, and makes learning fun. While it's not tailored to fit any specific curriculum, it is a resource for parents and students to use in augmenting whatever curriculum they choose. And lastly, how their content is flexible and easy for parents to use. It allows parents to guide their children in choosing which content to teach their children and to sample new content and potentially take on new challenges. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Jean has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guests and tell us, what is a fun fact about your industry that will really surprise our listeners?
Well, hi, everybody. A fun fact. Let's see. Oh, that homeschooling parents cannot be lazy. I mean, it's not like they sleep till 10 every day and do school for an hour and then, you know, woohoo, the rest of the day is free time. No, it's a hard job. It's a hard job.
It is. You know, I've talked to a lot of my friends who are, they're so busy. They're not even home. They're hardly even home. They're always on the run, always going from one thing to the next. I mean, wow. It's, you have to be really adaptable to be able to even do homeschooling with all the curriculums that are out there and all the resources that are out there, which brings me to you. So how do you help and how do you support the homeschool community?
We provide Starlight Magazine is a free online magazine. And though it's not attached to a certain curriculum, we believe that it's adaptable and usable by a wide variety of curriculum-driven homeschools. Our target ages are 5 to 10, and that's pretty broad. But that also means that that material is flexible. But let's say you have an 8-year-old who is challenged by reading. There are going to be things in each issue of Starlight that he or she will be able to read and enjoy. But if you have a 7 or an 8-year-old who is somewhat advanced and, you know, can just take a book and enjoy it, there are also going to be challenging things that are written on a 4th or 5th grade level so that your 7 or 8-year-old can dig in and read something that's a little more difficult.
So you're the editor of Starlight Magazine. Like, what inspired you to create this resource for homeschool parents?
I have been writing, learning how to write and writing for children with magazine articles and picture book manuscripts for 25 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I haven't had a huge amount of success with published books, but I've learned so much about the skills of good writing. And the last 8 or 10 years, publication, the world of publication has changed a great deal, and it disheartened me. And other Christians I know who write for children are discouraged too. And I was, you know, grumbling with myself and God and, you know, complaining. And he said something to the effect, well, stop trying to please all these publishers. Why don't you create a magazine for children that will appreciate the kind of things that Christian writers write?
Wow. Wow.
You know, and I said, me, you know, you want me? He said, yeah, you can do it. And you know, these 25 years, God has prepared me with a lot of the tools I need to do this. A lot of the things that I've learned through writing and going to conferences and so forth have prepared me to do this job.
I love that. Isn't that just like the Lord though? Like, we think we're doing one thing and then all of a sudden he's like, surprise, I've been having you prepare for this. And you're like, oh, okay, fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a God of surprises.
He is. And you can always see when you do like reverse like engineering, you always see his fingerprints in each moment and how like where your life is today. It's like as we heed his voice and we follow his leading. And even sometimes when we're not living for the Lord, I love the fact that he, when I wasn't living for him, I love the fact that he pursued me regardless and always like was always telling me, I always heard his voice, but I'd always be like, leave me alone. I just want to live my own life right now. You know, he was still like guiding me and putting gifts in me and things like that. He's a very, very good God. And I'm very thankful.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that you're doing this because, you know, I think like me, you know, we're looking for ways to be able to bring resources to a community that we're so passionate about, that we feel has such a strong, you know, a potential of influence out there in the world. And, you know, as we all move forward and really bring those resources, just really hope that parents start recognizing the potential in them to be able to like really change the face of education. And I love what you're doing, like, you know, having a magazine. So tell us a little bit about your magazine. Like, what would a person find inside your magazine when they go and look through it?
Well, our motto is fun, faith, fiction, and facts. Nice. And we try to incorporate some of that in every issue. We have a devotional, we have a retelling of a Bible story, we have the biography of a famous Christian, might have been from 100 years ago, or last in November, the Christian we spotlighted was Johnny Erickson Tada.
Oh.
So, and then we have puzzles and poems. We're trying to shine God's truth through literature, through children's literature. And, you know, poems are somewhat neglected, I think. So we try to have several short poems, short enough that children could memorize them. You know, young children could memorize them. And then we have what's called Stella is our, as a star, and Stella is our little mascot. And so Stella has a packet of printables. And inside the magazine, hidden in the magazine, you'll find places that if you click on that, it will open up Stella's printables. And then those, again, are so that the parent or child can print them out. Coloring pages, dot to dots, puzzles, crossword puzzles, word searches, whatever we can think of to put in there that have something to do with the theme of that issue. The issue coming up in March is primarily about Easter and spring, new life, new growth. So we have lots of fun printables, things that have to do with growing and flowers and trees and baby animals and all kinds of things.
That's
really
cool.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And I want to swing back to Johnny Erickson Tada. She is awesome. And I don't think a lot of people do know her story. I don't know how popular, like, I know she's popular, But I don't know, like, how everybody, if everybody knows, I feel like if I ask some people, they'd be like, no, I don't know her. She was an artist, right? Like she's a quadriplegic as well, right? And she began to paint with her mouth, like using.
She, as a teenager, she had a diving accident, which left her a quadriplegic. And she started out, part of her recuperation was to develop her artistic ability. And she sold copies and prints and so forth. She is now in an administrative capacity with several large organizations that sponsor and help with a wide variety of disabilities.
That's awesome.
She has become a real champion of folks who are considered disabled in some way.
Yeah. And she really puts like a lot of like, no excuses. Like, hey, you can do this. If I can do it, you can do it. She used to have like a I don't know if it was I think it was a radio show, but it wasn't a really long one. It was a short one.
Right. I remember it.
Yeah. And she would always come on and give some really awesome, like, you know, inspiration. And I remember when I first started listening to her, I didn't know her story until one day. I don't even know how I learned it. I think I looked it up or something like that. She had some type of thing. And I was like, whoa, I had no idea. Because it's not like something that she's constantly talking about.
Right.
But it is something that is part of her life. But she's such an overcomer. And I love the fact that you highlighted her, because I guess, again, that just shows the kind of integrity and the kind of, you know, material and work that you're putting out there, the kind of resource your magazine really is. I think it's fantastic. Wow. That's really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And you know, parents don't have to be homeschooling to access Starlight, but we believe it's of particular interest to homeschooling parents, because those not lazy homeschooling parents are in charge of selecting everything that's a part of their curriculum. And finding assets like Starlight Magazine can really be helpful to homeschooling parents.
Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, it's definitely a big feat to be looking for all those resources and everything, just trying to bring things together. So I just had a question. So do you have like any testimonies about like how people have seen your magazine, how they found it, and how it's changed their lives?
I don't have any printed out or anything in front of me. The testimonies that I have right now, I better back up. We're brand new. Our first issue was last November.
Amazing.
And we publish quarterly, so our second issue is coming out in March. But after that first issue came out, yes, we did get emails from parents who were thrilled, and I want to throw this in, from authors, writers, that we gave them the opportunity to be published in a way that they felt glorified God. Wow. And we got several emails from them thanking us for the opportunity to put their work out there for children, work that, and it doesn't all say Jesus saves you in every article and every poem doesn't say that, but they all point to God. They all reflect God. They all in some way try to glorify Christ.
That's beautiful. That's life-changing.
We hope so. And you know, God didn't assure me that we're going to have a million subscribers or anything like that. And we have more than 300 now. And I'm very pleased with that, because we're brand new. But if God chooses to hold it at 300, or if God chooses to make it 3,000 people, we just want the magazine to bless those who do use it.
I love that. I love that. So what's the website that they can find your magazine?
Okay. It is just starlightmagazine.com. STARLIGHT. And on the front page, you'll see Stella sitting there welcoming everybody. And there is a link in that first paragraph where you can look at our first issue and thumb through it to see if that's something that you think your kids would enjoy.
And you have a Facebook page as well?
Yes, we do. And again, it's simply Starlight Magazine on Facebook. And most of the things I put on there are for authors and writers, or like just reminding people the next issue is coming out here and so forth. But as far as the website goes, we're busy. We've just started trying to build some resources for parents themselves. They're not on the website yet, but we're working on it, trying to get some handy dandy resources for the parents who come to our website.
Oh, that's cool. Can you give me a little sneak peek into like one type of resource that you...
Well, like there are a few podcasts that are Christian podcasts. One that I really like is called Solo Parenting. And we're going to, you know, have things like that, podcasts and blogs and so forth. But we're just trying to come up with a good mix of things and a few little devotional things that will go on there too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I think those kinds of resources are really great. Podcasts are, I personally like podcasts because they allow you to stay mobile and you're still able to get information at the same exact time, where sometimes, you know, unless you're a person who like literally carves out time to sit down and read, which I do. Me personally, I tend to carve out time to read, but not everybody does, especially when you have like a bunch of little kids and you're always on the run. Sometimes it doesn't work very well.
You know, like I listen to podcasts in the mornings when I'm eating breakfast and getting the house straightened up. I know parents who listen to it in the car while they're waiting in car line at Christian schools, or, you know, running errands with the kids to the dentist and the whoever else. Yeah, I love podcasts.
Me too.
But sometimes it's hard to find Christian ones. And I would like to throw this in. The resources we put on that parent page are not going to be academic things necessarily, not another curriculum, because personally, I'm kind of overwhelmed by the amount of Christian curricula curricula for homeschoolers, excuse me, that's out there. But these will be things for the parents themselves.
Nice, like personal growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like personal development and growth and ability to, And you know what? That's really important, because I think when they have like a mindset shift, you know, then all things become clear as they start thinking the right way and start having more confidence in themselves and start recognizing, you know, their value. Because I really, for some reason, I think a lot of times, you know, some, not all, but some parents don't recognize that their value. And I always hear, and this drives me nuts, I'm not going to lie to you, I always hear what moms say, "I'm just a mom." I'm like, get out. Like, what? Like,
that's the greatest, most important, most influential job in the entire world.
I know. And it drives me nuts when they say I'm like, what do you mean you're just a mom? Like, you're responsible for a whole human life. And if you have more than one, that's pretty big. Like, you got to get the just out.
True. But hopefully we'll just be able to, again, whether it encourages a few parents or thousands of parents, we just want to put what's of value on that page.
I love that.
Not volume, but quality. Not quantity, but quality. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get it. That's fantastic. So as we're wrapping things up, what is one thing you want to impart to parents from our conversation today?
Well, for homeschooling parents, I would like to impart to them, if God has called you to do this, or if you, not all homeschooling parents come at it from a Christian perspective and worldview, I know that, but if you are convinced this is the right thing for your family, you can do it, but you cannot do it alone.
That's so good.
You know, there, again, so many curricula, but there are so many resources, and you're the person best suited to make those choices for your children.
Fantastic. Well said. Well said, Jean Hall. I love it.
I was I've taught in Christian schools for many years. I was an administrator in a Christian school, but I worked with so many homeschooling parents who would come to my office going, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And I was able to encourage them and advise them, you know, and yes, occasionally homeschooling wasn't the right situation for that particular family. But most of the time they left there feeling that, oh, I have somebody I can lean on, you know, and I know I can do this.
And that's true. I, you know, as much as I'm a proponent for homeschool, and I think everyone should homeschool their child, I do. I really do. I recognize the fact that maybe it's not possible for all of them, but I do believe this one thing I do believe is true for all parents, that even at least 3 to 4 times a week, there should be a time where you are spending that time educationally with your child, even if it's like an hour in that day or 30 minutes, something that you're putting in your DNA, you're putting in your values, you're taking that education space and taking back the, you know, the authority there, honestly. So that way when the kids, you know, something is funky that's said in the school, they're like, well, you know, my mom said this.
I read that centuries ago, before everyone could read and write, potters would mark their products, their pots and so forth, with their own thumbprint. And, you know, the thumbprints were different sizes. And of course, they became recognizable. And to me, that is a parent's responsibility. Whatever educational situation you choose for your child, that you leave your thumbprint on their life.
That is good. I mean, we're just going to end it right there.
Okay. Thank you so much for this chance.
Thank you, Jean. Appreciate you.
Thanks a bunch.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.